Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
That Simon Peter did not end up denying the Lord just in one day. This is not a one-day decision, but that this was something that began happening in the heart of Simon Peter, how that he went out and wept bitterly. And what we said about that phrase was two things, that Simon Peter lost his identity and Simon Peter lost his community. He went out and wept bitterly. Who was Simon Peter? Was he the leader of the Christian movement? The one that the Lord would use in a very special way to be the rock? This small rock of which the Lord would use Simon Peter for his accomplished purposes of the beginning of the church? Or was he this man who loved the Lord? Or was he a man who was a denier? Was he a man who chose his life above the life of a life living for the Lord? He lost his identity. He didn't know who he was anymore. He lost his community. After you deny the Lord, you don't run and hang out with James and John, the sons of thunder, right? Man, after you deny the Lord, man, it's hard to find that community. And we talked about the importance of having those friendships in our life. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Man, I have lots of friends, and yet they really are friends if they do not have the permission, man, to speak life into our life. Dave, I see this area of your life where you're really struggling it. And there's this thing with Amanda that I think the two of you should really make sure you work through. Man, how many people do we have in our lives like that? How many real friends do we have who are faithful to wound us, yet they wound us not because they're just happy to point out our flaws, but man, wound us because they care for us. Man, the faithful wounding of a friend, that's a gift from God to you and to me. Simon Peter denies the Lord, and when he did, he lost his community. Man, when he did, he lost his identity. But Simon Peter began this denial by distancing himself from the Savior. We highlighted that in the chapter already, how that Simon Peter followed afar off. He didn't want to get too close. Verse number 58, he's following the Lord afar off. Man, there was a time when Simon Peter was walking step by step with the Lord, headed down the road toward ministry. Man, there was a time when Simon Peter got out of the boat to move in the direction of the Lord. Man, there was a time he was going to the Lord. There was a time he was walking beside the Lord. And now he's following afar off from the Lord. Man, we talked about it in our own hearts and lives, being careful that we stay close to the Lord. I don't know a better way to stay close to the Lord than to stay faithful to church. Man, the best way to stay close to the Lord, man, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hey, listen, we said three things about staying close to the Lord in our personal lives. Three ways that we can stay close to the Lord. Give God the first day of the week. Man, that's Sunday. Man, Sunday is the Lord's day. I'm going to be faithful to God's house. Why? Because I want to stay faithful to the Lord. Man, I want to stay faithful to God's house. Why? Because the preacher is always good. You should be careful what you say right there, okay? Man, no, not because of the preacher, not for the preacher. Man, stay faithful to the Lord. Why? Because I want to stay close to the Lord. And I want to be in God's house. Man, because in God's house, we sing God's praises, we open God's word, we're encouraged by God's people. Man, stay close to the Lord. Give God the first day of the week. Sunday is God's day, so I'm going to be faithful to church. Even in the summertime. Man, give God the first day of the week. Then we said, give God the first 5 minutes of our day. And some of us could do more than 5 minutes, man, but some of us, we're going to do good if we just start the first 5 minutes of our day. Pastor, I want to stay close to the Lord. How can I do that? Man, when you wake up in the morning, cup of coffee, and the first 5 minutes, that belongs to the Lord. Man, I'm going to open the Word of God. I'm going to read God's Word. I'm going to spend some time in prayer before I jump on the 405 or the 710, okay? Man, staying close to the Lord, man, involves God gets the first day of the week. Staying close to the Lord involves giving God the first 5 minutes of my day. Staying close to the Lord involves giving God the first 10% of my pay. Well, why? Man, see, I knew I shouldn't have came to church this morning. These Baptist pastors always talking about money. They're always bringing up money. Hey, listen, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Man, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When we're faithful to give of our tithes and offerings to the Lord, man, we take a special interest in making sure that, man, that those things are being used for the honor, for the glory, man, for the propagation of God's name all across Long Beach, all across California, all across the globe. Man, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Man, I don't want to distance myself from the Savior, do you? Man, I want to make sure that I'm not just following afar off, but my feet are like Simon Peter's headed toward. Or my feet are like Simon Peter's walking beside. Not like following afar off. He's distancing himself from. Man, we said, third of all, we said he was disobedient in his servants. Man, Simon Peter reaches for his sword. He slices off the ear of Malchus, man, that guard who went to arrest Jesus. Man, it's listen, you have to be pretty angry at someone to swing with a sword at their head, don't you? Man, you have to be pretty angry at someone. I've been at times, man, upset with my kids, but I've never grabbed the steak knife and gone after them. You know what I mean? Man, there are some times I was giving him a lecture, but I wasn't grabbing for the steak knife in order to go after them. Simon Peter, man, in a heart. Man, what we said about that is Simon Peter's heart was not full of the fruit of the Spirit. Man, full of the fruit of the Spirit would be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Man, against such things, there is no law. It's not full of the fruit of the Spirit. Man, it was full of the works of the flesh. Anger, bitter, man, rivaling one with the other. Man, arguing, contentious. Only by pride cometh contention. Man, we said number four, Simon Peter was depending on self. Man, he doesn't need to stay awake. He doesn't need the Lord's help in order to persevere through the garden. Prayerlessness is a sign of self-sufficiency. Man, we think we're okay. We can make it on our own. I don't need the Lord to help me through the day. I got this. And when Simon Peter depends on himself and not on the Spirit, man, it's there that Simon Peter is tempted. And we said two things about temptation. Man, we are tempted when we're tired. Man, when we're exhausted, a long week of work, man, a lot of extra hours in the office, man, it's there that we are most easily or most readily tempted, is in that moment. We're tempted when we're tired and we're tempted when we're talented. Man, when we think we got this, I can handle it. I don't need anyone else helping me. Man, we get tempted there. Simon Peter depending on himself. Man, these are the steps he's taking. These are the steps he's taking that led him to deny the Lord. Man, number five this morning, man, a display of pride. A display of pride. Look at verse number 33. Man, verse number 31, rather. And Jesus said to them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after that I am risen, I will go before you to Galilee. And Simon Peter, man, Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never. Not me, Jesus. You got it wrong when it comes to me. Not me, Jesus. Everybody else will bail, but I will not bail on you. And here's Simon Peter, man, the leader of the disciples, the first on every list that you read. And here he stands and he's doing two things to the Lord Jesus. Man, number one, he's arguing with the Lord instead of listening to the Lord. Man, Jesus never got any of these wrong. Man, Jesus was right every time he pointed out where someone's heart was or where someone's heart wasn't. Man, the Lord Jesus was right every time. And yet, instead of Simon Peter humbling himself and listening to this corrective rebuke from the Lord, saying, Lord, please don't let it be me. Man, Simon Peter, instead of saying, Lord, man, may it not be me. Instead of that, he's saying, not me, Lord, you got it wrong. And not me. I would never do that. Nope, I'll never do that. Hey, listen, my hope is, my prayer is, man, that if the Lord reveals something to me, hey, be careful about this way. Be careful about this direction. Be careful about this thing. Be careful about these entertainments. Be careful about, man, these hobbies. Be careful about using your free time in this way. Man, I hope if the Lord revealed something like that to my heart, my immediate answer would not be, nope, not me, not me. You got me wrong. Man, I hope my answer would be, Lord, may it not be me. Man, not like, Lord, nope, I would never do that. Just, Lord, please keep me from that. Man, that's the spirit that the Apostle Paul has. Man, but by the grace of God, there go I. Man, if it wasn't for God's grace in my heart, if it wasn't for God's grace in my life, if it wasn't for God's favor reigning over me, shining through me, man, coming down on me or around me, if it wasn't for God's grace, but by the grace of God, I would find myself in a similar position, in a similar state. And yet, Simon Peter, instead of listening to the Lord, being humble in his response toward the Lord, Simon Peter is arguing with the Lord, not me. I would never do it. I would never do that. Why is Simon Peter arguing with the Lord instead of listening to the Lord? And here's the answer. Because of pride. Man, because of the pride in Simon Peter's heart, he cannot humble himself before the Lord. Man, may taking heed lest he fall. Instead of taking heed lest he fall and humbling himself before the Lord, he's filled with pride. He's filled, and that's number two, he's filled with arrogance. Man, he's arguing instead of listening. He's arrogant instead of learning. Man, Simon Peter trusting himself instead of trusting the Lord. Man, wasn't it the Lord Jesus Christ who said, without me, you can do nothing? Man, wasn't it the Lord Jesus who said, Simon, wherever you go in this life, be careful because the devil hath desired you to sift you like wheat. Simon, there's a bullseye on your back. He's coming after you. And yet Simon Peter, thinking himself more highly than he ought to think, not me, I would never do that. And instead of listening to, he's arguing with. Instead of being humble about himself, truthful about himself, man, he's arrogant about himself. And we said this last week, just for review and on our point this week. Hey, listen, it is not your emotions. Listen, it's not your circumstances that direct your emotions. It's your beliefs that direct your emotions. It's not your circumstances. It's not the things that's happening around you. It's not all the, if I would have got that, if I would have been there, if I would have went here, if I would have met her, if I would have been given this pay raise. It's not your circumstances that dictate or direct your emotions. It's your beliefs about yourself that dictate and direct your emotions. Well, I don't know why she got the pay raise, why they got the corner office, why they let him, they let her. I don't know why they did that, because I deserved it. And that's where Simon Peter is finding himself right now. Man, Simon Peter thinks himself more highly than he ought to. He's believing in himself instead of trusting in what the Lord says. Man, the Lord said, this night all of you will be offended because of me. Simon Peter says, nope, you got it wrong, Lord. I won't be offended because of you. Listen, there's no humility in Simon Peter at that point. There's no humility, no saying, Lord, direct my steps and keep me from the evil way. Man, there's no humility in Simon Peter's life. Hey, listen, church, we need some humility in our lives. Man, as individual believers, we need some humility in our lives. Man, I'm not better than anyone. And there's this in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Isn't that what the Lord, what the Apostle Paul said? Man, in me, in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. The only good thing about David Delaney is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Hey, listen, the only good thing about you is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Yeah, well, you don't know about me, Pastor. No, I know all I need to know about you. You know all you need to know about me. The only good thing in any of us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, therefore, let's humble ourselves in His sight. Man, let's lower ourselves in His eyes. Man, let's not be more arrogant than we ought to. Let's not be more haughty than we ought to. Hey, let's not be so caught up with our own strength, our own talent, our own abilities, more so than we ought to. Let's humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Hey, listen, and when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know how they're taking advantage of me. And if you knew what I had to go through at home, and if you knew what the kind of boss I had, hey, listen, we can justify and we can rationalize all we want, man, but we can, in justifying and rationalizing, man, we're just trying to make excuse for why we are not doing what we know we should. Man, we're doing the same thing Simon Peter did. We're arguing instead of listening. Man, we're arrogant instead of learning. Man, Simon Peter here, number five, Simon Peter's display of pride. Man, what a terrible story from Simon Peter. But aren't you glad that it doesn't end, Simon Peter went out and wept bitterly, the end of the story for Simon Peter? Man, that's number six, a distinction of grace. Hey, listen, friend, I want you to hear me on this point. We serve a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, sixth. We serve a God of infinite amount of chances. Why? Because that's who our God is. Our God is gracious. Our God is loving. Our God is forgiving. Our God is patient. Our God is kind. Our God is merciful. Man, this is who our God is for us each and every step of the way. We serve a God who set His love on us. And because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son for us. He's not just a God of second chances. Man, He's a God. He's a God who rains mercy and grace on our lives. And here's what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, God's mercy is new every day. Man, great is God's faithfulness. Even in the day to day, God was showing you mercy. God was being patient toward you. God was being patient toward me. A man and I, we went to get our passport pictures taken, and we went to the passport office, and we're just going to do it all there. And we're standing there, and the lady says, "So you want us to take your passport picture?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she says, "Okay, well, you only get one photograph." And I'm imagining that's for like the prima donnas who, you know, they're doing the little duck face and all the, right? They're trying to make sure there's no double chin and all those things, right? And so she says, "You only get one take." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, one take. I'm ready for it." Amanda goes first. She gets her picture taken. I mean, it's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman, never taken a bad picture in her whole life. That's brownie points right there. That's what that is. So then it's my turn, and I step up, and I am the least photogenic person you've ever met in your life. I stand up, and the lady goes, "All right, one, two," and she goes, "Three." And when she does, she clicks the photo. And when she clicks her photo, my eyes were closed. Like they're half open, half closed like this. I look like I'm, you know, I've been enjoying some recreational marijuana or something like that. My eyes are, they're like half closed. And the lady goes, "One, two, three." And it takes the photo, and she looks at it, and then she looks at me. And she looks at it. And she looks at me, and then the air, you know how the air gets thick in a room sometimes? That's a real thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, the air got thick. She just looks at me, she looks at the photo, she looks at me, she looks at the photo, and she's like, "Okay, here it is, sir." And she prints the picture, and I'm like this. And I look at my photo, I'm like, "No." She's like, "I'm sorry, the policy is only one photo." Every time I go through customs, they're like, "Okay, put this guy over there in that room over there. He is obviously smuggling drugs into our country. Send him over there." You know, like, I promise I'm a preacher. "Yeah, right, go to that room over there," right? Man, I am so glad God is not like the clerk at the passport office. Just one and done. Now you're stuck with this for the rest of your life. Man, God is a God of mercy. God is a God of second, third, fourth chances. Man, so long as there is breath in your lungs, man, there is mercy and grace and forgiveness being offered to you and to me. You would think if there's anything that you cannot get deliverance for, if there's anything you could not find forgiveness from God for, you would think if there's anything that God could not be merciful toward you about, it would be denying. I mean, okay, God might be able to overlook lying. God might be able to overlook, you know, gluttony. God might be able to overlook cheating on the test. God might be able to overlook, you know, gossiping. God might be able to look all these little things. But you would think if anything that God would not overlook, He would not overlook that someone denied Him 3 times on the night of His crucifixion. And yet, this is so encouraging. Look, I want you to see it. Go to Mark. Mark chapter number 16. This is after the Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. What we know is that the Lord knew ahead of time and knew at the time that Peter denied Him. Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse number 7. This is the angel of the Lord repeating this to the ladies in order to tell them about what He's doing for His disciples. Verse number 7, but go your way. Did you find it? Verse number 7. But go your way. Tell His disciples, but don't you say a word to Simon Peter, because he's not welcome in the club. Is that what your Bible says? Hey, if yours says that, you got the wrong one, all right? But go your way. Tell His disciples and Peter. Hey, listen. Go your way. Tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see Him. Man, Simon Peter got a personal invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ after Simon Peter denied the Lord. Man, it's like the Lord knew Simon would need the reassurance that he was still welcome in the Lord Jesus' presence. Man, the Lord Jesus knew this. Is Simon saying I desired you to sift you like wheat? But I have prayed for you when you return, when you come back. And by the way, Simon, you will come back. You will fall. You will deny. But when you return, strengthen the brethren. Man, He knows. The Lord Jesus predicts it. He calls His shot. He says, Simon, you'll deny Me. You'll deny Me before the cock crows 3 times. You'll deny Me on the night when I need you the most. You'll deny Me the worst. And yet, after you are restored, once you realize how gracious and merciful and loving and kind and big My arms are for you, strengthen the brethren. Now, what can He mean by strengthen the brethren? Man, Simon Peter writes his epistle, his letter to the churches, and when he does, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, who needed a lesson in grace? Simon Peter. And now Simon Peter, who received a lesson in the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God, now Simon Peter is offering that mercy and grace to the churches. Why? Because Simon Peter was a recipient of, man, he received that grace and knew better than anyone else about how good that grace from God Almighty was. Man, Simon Peter returns to the Lord. Hey, but hear me on this, friend. Simon Peter did not return to the Lord by his own works. Simon Peter returned to the Lord by God's grace. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, that He saved us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, it's not our pride that gets us right with the Lord. It's His praise. Hey, it's not our works that gets us right with the Lord. It's His grace. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question, friend. Do you this morning know of the grace of God Almighty? Do you know how that the Lord Jesus, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be made rich? Do you understand that the Lord Jesus left all the splendor and luxury and riches of heaven? He descended, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect sinless life, died an atoning death, but he did not stay dead, but that he resurrected from the grave 3 days later. And he did that to offer to you and to me life and eternal life with him. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ took your place on the cross when he died there? And that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? Listen, salvation is not trusting in the baptistry to save you. Salvation is not trusting in your church membership to save you. Salvation is not trusting in your good works. Salvation is realizing that you and I could never get to heaven on our own, by our deeds, or through obedience to the law. And when we realize that, we realize that the only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason God would give us that is not because we're worthy, not because we're worth it, not because we'll never betray or deny or offend, not because of any of those things. The only reason God did that is because he loved you. You see, God knows everything about you, and he loves you anyway. You see, because if I'm God, I would go, look, you can bring all the disciples, but you better not invite Peter to my resurrection party. He's a scumbag. And that guy denied me. I told him he would do it. He didn't listen. He's stubborn. He's arrogant. He's like my junior high boys. I don't want him at the party. And if I see him at the party, I'm going to kick him out. But that's not what the Lord Jesus does, is it? No, the Lord Jesus knows everything about Simon Peter. The Lord Jesus prays for Simon Peter. The Lord Jesus went and died on the cross for Simon Peter. And then after the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, he invited Simon Peter to the party anyway. He knows everything about Simon Peter, and he loves him anyway. That's true love, isn't it? We've said this over and over. True love is knowing that your feet stink, but they still love you anyway. It's easy for you to love me when I still have my shoes on. I promise you that. But be at my house this evening when I kick my shoes off after all day of walking in them, and then tell me that you still love me. It's a wonderful act of mercy that Amanda does every night. She loves me, and she knows I got stinky feet. She knows everything there is to know about me. And she loves me anyway. And that is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and me. Two ideas here. Number one, the reassurance that is offered. You realize how freeing that is? You realize how freeing it is that the Lord Jesus knows everything there is to know about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And yet he still loves you. There's no pretense then. You don't have to act like and cover up and pretend like there's nothing wrong or no mistakes or no blemishes and no failures. And you don't have to do that. Why? Because the Lord already knows everything there is to know about you. Man, the reassurance that is offered, but it's not just that. But the re-enlistment that is given. More than the rest of the disciples, Peter needed reassurance. And more than the rest of the disciples, Peter needed re-enlistment. See, there are some times in our hearts, there are some times in our lives where our sin, our failure, our guilt, our regret, it appears so great, doesn't it? Like we know how much we messed up, how bad we failed. We know even how deliberate that failure was, how it was so often and so numerous. And we ourselves, we wouldn't dare invite ourselves into the company of the redeemed. Man, how easy is it for Peter to stay on the outside looking in, seeing James and John on the inside and knowing that James and John didn't deny him, but I denied him. So James and John must not want me there. Man, how easy it is that we convince ourselves that everybody around us must know all there is to know about us and we must not be welcomed there. Hey, listen, friends, this place you're in today, you are welcome here. He said, Pastor, you don't know what I did. I don't need to know what you did. God knows what you did, and he invites you into his presence. You are welcome here. You are wanted here. Yeah, but if you knew this, it would not be good. Listen, that's the lie of the devil. Man, he sits on our shoulder and he accuses the brethren, the Bible says. He's accusing us. You're not as good as. Let me just show you a little test. Watch this. How many of you in the room, you'd say, Pastor, this past week, I know it. I made a mistake. I messed up. I sinned against God Almighty. I did that. I'm not proud of it, but I know that happened in my life this week. Can you see? Slip your hand up. Don't. Not one of those Baptist hand raises. Not like this, okay? Watch. Slip your hand up. Look around the room. Ladies, grab your purse right now. And you're going, I knew there was something about this church. There's no one in the room that's perfect. We said this over and over. Man, there are no perfect churches. There's no perfect churches because there's no perfect pastors. Don't amen. There are no perfect churches because there's no perfect pastors and there's no perfect people. But praise be to God, there is a perfect Savior and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross in our place, and he doesn't kick us out of fellowship with him. He invites us into fellowship with him. And our sins are forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he re-enlists us. He reassures us for service. I want to show you this last thought, then we're done, okay? The idea of being re-enlisted. Go to John. John ends his gospel talking about Simon Peter, and hear it on this. Verse number 14, John chapter 21 and verse number 14. This completes the story. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. I'm in verse number 14. After that he was risen from the dead. So that when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith, Simon does. Simon Peter saith to him, so Simon said to Jesus, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith, Jesus responds, feed my lambs. Verse number 16, are you with me? And Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Simon Peter saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. Verse number 17. And Jesus saith to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time. Think this. Why was he grieved? He's grieved because he had to ask him three times. Simon, do you love me? Yes. No, Simon, do you love me? Yes. No, Simon, do you love me? And he's grieved in his heart. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Whoa. You remember what the Lord Jesus said the night of the Last Supper? All of you will be offended because of me. No. You don't know what you're talking about, Lord. Not me. I mean, everybody else will want, but not me. I will not be offended because of you. You do not know what you're talking about when it comes to me. Man, arguing, arrogant, prideful. Simon, do you love me? Yes. Simon, do you love me? Yes. Simon, do you love me? I'm grieved in my spirit, Lord, because you know all things. That's a different tone from Simon Peter, isn't it? Lord, you know all things, and you knowest that I love thee. Listen, and Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Listen to verse 18. This is one of my favorite verses in this idea. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So he's telling Simon Peter, you're going to need some courage because you're going to die for me, Simon Peter. You're going to die, not just in any way. You're going to die in the worst possible way. You're going to die by having your arms spread out and someone girding you up. He's saying, Simon, you're going to die on the cross for me. Now you might think, how is that good news? Simon, don't worry. I know you love me and I love you, and you're going to die the most possible way because you love me. Have a great day, buddy. What? How is this good news? Here's how it's good news. He's telling Simon Peter, you're going to be able to make good on that promise. You know that promise you said, how you would not deny me? You know that promise you said, how you would live for me when everybody else abandoned? Hey, Simon, you know how you said you would, if everybody else ran, you know how you said you wouldn't run? Good news, Simon Peter. You'll get to make good on that promise. But then in using the image of the cross, he says something really weird. He says, when you were little, people picked you up and carried you around. They clothed you. And now when you're old, someone's going to pick you up just the same way. He compares Simon Peter stretching out his arms on the cross like a little kid stretching out his arms for his mom and dad to pick him up. You ever seen a little kid? And they go like this. They're like, gah, 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 gah. They run from mom and dad. And mom and dad pick him up and they give him a hug. Here's the image. The image is, Simon, when you spread your arms out on the cross to die for me, I'm going to be picking you up and bringing you to myself like you're a little child with your arms wide open, running to me. Oh, that's a beautiful image, isn't it? Now, the crucifixion, I could do without that, couldn't you? As Simon Peter, in his own pride, in his own self-sufficiency, in his own arrogance, he can't even say he knows who the Lord is in front of a little damsel, in front of a little girl. And yet once he comes to know the grace of God Almighty, Simon Peter is able to spread his arms wide open on the cross. In fact, John Fox would teach us that Simon Peter, when they came time to crucify him, that Simon Peter said, don't crucify me the right side up, crucify me upside down, because I don't deserve to die like my Savior died. So those guards took Simon Peter and laid his arms out on the cross. They crucified him, and then they took his cross and they turned him upside down and they stuck him in the hole. Arms wide open. And the Lord Jesus Christ in that moment says, Simon, when you're there, I'm going to scoop in and I'm going to pick you up like you were a little child, and I'm going to pull you to myself. You see, that's the love that God has for you and for me. What makes Simon Peter go from denying in front of a little girl to dying upside down on the cross? Here's what it is. What's so different in Simon's life from there to John 21? Here's what it is. Ready? He understood the grace of God Almighty. The most powerful force in the life of a Christian is understanding the grace that God has shown to us. When I see God's grace, when I understand God's love, spread my arms open and I say, Lord, it's all you, it's only you, it's only ever always been you, it's not me, it's not my strength, it's yours and yours alone. So here's my question for you this morning. Do you know of the grace of God Almighty? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I do not know that my sins would be forgiven. I've never experienced God's grace in my life that way. In just a moment, we're all going to stand. We're going to have a song of invitation. And I'm going to invite you to meet me right here. I'm going to be standing dead center. And I would love to meet you and take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can come to know the grace of God Almighty. For those of us in the room who have experienced God's grace, we know our sin is forgiven. We know our relationship and fellowship with God is made right. Can I ask you this? Are you walking in that experience of grace? I mean, are you living out the experience of grace, or are you saying, not me, the Lord doesn't know me, I'm good. I can make it on my own, I don't need anyone's help. And the most powerful experience in the life of a Christian is the experience of the grace of God Almighty. So maybe you're in the room this morning, you've been saved, you know your relationship with God's made right, you know your fellowship with God is good. You know that? And then before we leave from this place, we're going to take a minute or two and just reflect and respond on that good grace from God Almighty. My prayer for you is that before you just walk out the back door and on through the events of the rest of the day, that we'd stop for 2 minutes and just say, God, thank you for your grace. Because without your grace, I can't make it home this evening. Without your grace, I couldn't sit here and have my lungs filled with air. Without your grace, I couldn't enjoy lunch here in just a little while. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace in my life. And let's get lost in the grace of God Almighty. And let's let that grace overflow to people in our lives.